About, you're going to be hearing a lot about, over a six-week period, this is week two, we're doing a series called Bless. And last week's message, the introductory message, and the first small group lesson had to do with understanding what it means to be a blessing to others in our midst. And there was a story that was very fun that was in the sermon. I told you that I'm using this sermon series as a guideline. I'm finding I'm using less and less of it because I'm just feisty that way. I like what I want to say. But this illustration I thought was wonderful, and there was a similar one, those of you that attended the small group study. There was a doctoral thesis that was called Blessers versus Converters. The study was based on two teams of missionaries that both went to Thailand, but they went to Thailand with two distinctly different missional strategies. The first team, the converters, went with the sole intention of converting people or evangelizing everyone around them. Is that what we think of with missionaries? Yeah, that's the traditional understanding of what a missionary does. The second team, the blessers, went with the intention of blessing people. They would say, I'm just here to bless anyone who comes my way, or I just want to be a blessing to the people in my community. The study followed them for 2 years, and here's what they discovered. First of all, they discovered that the blessers had a greater social impact than the converters. This proved out that the first team's intention of blessing the people in the community around them resulted in tremendous amounts of social betterment, this is a quote, and social good. Secondly, and here's what is so surprising, they discovered that the first team of blessers also had, listen to this, almost 50 times the conversations as the converters. The blessers helped 50 times more people find their way back to God. Far more conversions happened by those who were blessing rather than seeking only to convert. Does this make sense to us? Yes, in our culture today, when people hear somebody go and they're, you know, you're receive the Lord, and this is how you do it, and if you don't, you're going to hell, and do you know where you're going to be if you die today? That's what we've been taught. There's nothing wrong with that, except that people today don't receive it in the way that people received it 30 years ago. And this idea of blessing as a goal lays the groundwork for people to trust us and for people to be more open to the gospel message. This one today, this message today, again is B. B stands for begin with prayer. Not a last resort, not the last thing you do. Well, there's nothing left to do but pray. Ever heard that? I've heard it many times. Yeah, I guess there's nothing left to do but pray. No. Begin with prayer. Do prayer in the middle. Do prayer at the end as the last resort. But begin with prayer. And so as I was looking for how to help all of us understand how important this is, of course, where am I going to go? I'm going to go to Jesus himself. And I'm going to look at how important prayer was to him. Following his baptism, which we consider to be the beginning of his ministry, he is taken into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he is in the wilderness. Anybody remember how long? 40 years. Good. So 40 years. 40 days. And so, I think, no, Israelites, 40 years. 40 days. And during that time, again, he is fasting. And at the end of the 40 days, what happens? The devil comes, Satan comes and tempts him. Now, my understanding, a long time ago, it's been corrected for a little while, my understanding was that when Satan comes to Jesus is at his weakest. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. He's thirsty. This is where Satan says to him, hey, turn the rocks into bread. You know, he's hungry, right? And Jesus responds with scripture. Man does not live by bread alone, right? The reality is, at this point, after 40 days of prayer and fasting, Jesus is at his strongest. He began his whole ministry with 40 days of prayer. No distractions, just prayer. So when he was about to choose the 12 disciples, he goes to prayer again. In Luke 6, starting with verse 12, it says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. I don't know about you, but when I was singing that sweet hour of prayer, I'm thinking how hard it is for us to spend 1 hour. It's hard for us to spend 1 minute sometimes, or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes. It's a challenge. Jesus prayed all night. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. He spent the night praying before making the next critical decision in his ministry, choosing these 12 who would be his instruments of spreading the gospel when he was gone from the earth. Then there's a very dramatic passage in Luke, which some of you will know, called the Transfiguration, where Jesus transforms from what you normally would see a human being looking like into what he looks like as the glorified Lord. And this is what it says. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, three of the 12, and went up onto a mountain to pray. He's praying again. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Think about that. Flash of lightning. Two men, Old Testament figures, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. So this is as he is beginning the last phase of his ministry. He is praying and he is strengthened by Moses and Elijah. And boy, do these three disciples get the vision of what Jesus will look like. Then, before he is arrested, there's a chapter in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, that is all about prayer. Three prayers. He prays to be glorified. He says, Father, my time has come. Let me be glorified. Not for his own purposes, for God's purposes. Second prayer, he prays for his disciples. And guess what he prays for in the third prayer? Us. Yep. Prays for us. Then again he prays in Gethsemane. Okay, this is the garden that's outside of Jerusalem. Mark 14, it says this, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will be done. I love that example of prayer. That's an incredible model for prayer. Being real with God. Please, Lord, take this away. Take this away, but okay, Lord, not my will. Like the Lord's Prayer says, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And he prays two more times because he comes to the disciples and what are they doing? Sleeping. They are sleeping. And so it tells us that three times he spends time in prayer and then he is arrested. Does he pray anymore? Do we have any other records of his prayer? on the cross. Thank you, Mercedes. He prays two things. My God, why have you forsaken me? Again, he's real. Does it ever feel like God has forsaken you? I think for most people it feels that way. At me, at least at some point in their lives, it feels like God isn't there. And then the most amazing prayer of all, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His last prayer is not just for those who nailed his hands and feet to that cross, they're for us. All the times that we deny him and betray him in our own walk with him. From the beginning to the very end of his ministry, Jesus prayed. And so must we. We begin with prayer and we end with prayer. The passage that Betty shared, and I'm going to go into verse 20 as well, says this: pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. Don't worry, I'm going to explain supplication in a minute. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. I have a confession to make. The sermon is basically on verse 18. But I wanted your prayers, so I included 19 and 20. Pray for me when I preach. And that's a serious prayer, because I am always seeking that God will speak through me for what the people who are hearing the message need to hear. Not the words out of my mouth, but what they need to hear. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? Pray in the Spirit? Are we comfortable with the Holy Spirit? Many of us are not. That's kind of a big out there thing. And if you let the Holy Spirit take over, and you're supposed to, you never know what's going to happen. There is a way of praying that many people would use to describe praying in the Spirit, and that's with a very personal prayer language that the Lord has given to them as a gift. Not everybody receives that, but when they do, that's their understanding of praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we are inviting God's Spirit to join us in prayer, to make sure that the words that the Lord receives will be in accordance with God's will. How often are we supposed to pray? At all times. Good job. 1 Thessalonians 5, one of my favorite passages, verses 16 to 18. I think if we did this, we'd have it. We'd have the whole thing. Rejoice always. Yeah, right. Pray continually? Continually, never stopping, pray without ceasing. Some things, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually in every prayer and supplication. What in the world? Supplication. It's such a Bible word, such a theological word. We don't use this in the church anymore very often. How many, don't say it out loud. How many of you think you know what supplication is? Look at this. I love it. I love it. Just one or two. That's just such a churchy word. Okay, what it means is you're making a request of God. You do it all the time. If you pray for anything, that's a supplication that you're making a request and asking him for help. And I love this. To that end, keep alert. Alert for what? For an answer? That's one of it. But there's something more. Alert in the Greek means to be watchful, to be looking for something, to be ready for something. It's not just looking for the answers, though that's part of it, for the prayers. It's looking for people to pray for and things to pray for. Not living in a state of apathy. I don't care. Or, it's all about me. Lord, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Do this for me. He's not a vending machine. He's not. It's actually looking for things and people to pray for and to pray with. Always persevere, the verse says, in supplication. So now you know what supplication is. You're going to go out of here and say, if anybody ever asks you what supplication is, maybe it'll stick. And you'll say, asking God for stuff. And that'll be good enough. Always persevere. Never, ever, ever give up. No matter how long it takes to get an answer. There was another story in the sermon that I thought was wonderful. Dave was out walking the dog with Sue. Not our Sue, but another Dave. And different Sue. He has started doing this missional practice of beginning each day with prayer since last fall. Good job. Good job, Dave. He has specifically prayed for his neighbors, another guy he knows through the kids' school, and like his friend Dean, has been asking for divine appointments. That's when you're asking for God to bring somebody into your life for a specific purpose at a specific time. Now, he's lived in the same neighborhood for the last 8 to 9 years and confesses that he has made very little difference in his current neighborhood. I don't know how you feel about your neighborhood, but this would be most of us. Now, one of his neighbors recently was very ill and went through a tough physical battle that lasted most of a year. Very tough. Now, Dave is out walking the dog. Just as an aside, my dog Lottie is my personal evangelist. She likes to escape and go to other neighbors' houses. And then they, of course, when they find out I live in the parsonage, oh, you're the pastor down at that church. More conversations have been offered because of this dog and what she does. Mostly she goes over to Dave and Amy Wright's house. And so that's great because they're, what did I say, Wright? White, sorry. When she's gone over there, I've had a chance to talk with them. And you know, they were absent for a while, and this kept a good relationship going. So never underestimate a dog. So Dave is out walking the dog, and his neighbor meets him, and out of the blue, they have this conversation. The neighbor says, hey, Dave, I remember Sue saying you were going to write a book about finding your way back to God. Ever write that book? Dave says, no. Not yet. I'd like to. Why? The neighbor says, I just kind of feel like that's what I need. Getting quiet and emotional, she said, I'm afraid of dying. Dave says, you know, Sue and I were just talking about how we need to have you guys over for dinner. The neighbor says, we'd love that. It would be great to sit down and talk. That would be great. Dave said, I don't know exactly what or how, but something changed when I started praying. Dave didn't give up praying for his neighbors. In God's perfect timing, he received an answer to his prayer, which was an opportunity to minister to one of his neighbors. The last words in our passage say, for all the saints. Do we understand what that means? If I ask you what a saint is, I imagine most of you are going to tell me it's one of those Catholic people. You know, you've got a whole bunch of saints in the Catholic Church that are named saints. That's not what this means. It means for all believers. It also means for all those who are yet to believe. These are people that God has set apart. We are to be praying for all people. Let me give you a couple of formulas for prayer. Some of us would say, just like the disciples did, Lord, teach us to pray. And we used one of those tools when we said the Lord's Prayer. If you're not familiar with it, you can find it. Many may go online, Lord's Prayer, and you'll pull it up. It's a lesson on prayer. It's a whole other message. I debated whether to preach that as the passage today. But there's another one, another way of looking at prayer that I find so helpful. It's called Acts. That's a book in the Bible, right? The book of Acts. Okay, so that's how you remember it. A-C-T-S. A, adoration. So when you talk to God, you're saying, "Oh Lord, you are almighty, you are..." That's, it's that kind of words. Confession. We're supposed to confess. Thanksgiving. And supplication. Before we ask for anything, we are to show that we know who God is. We are to show that we are willing to confess our own sins. And we are able to give Him thanks. And then we pray for people and for things that need to happen. We're called to begin with prayer. It's not a last resort. It's how God can first and foremost use us to bless others. It's also how He blesses each one of us. So, challenge for the week. Begin your day in prayer. I know, I'm in a hurry, got too much to do. Okay, so I personally set my alarm 30 minutes earlier. I did it when I was teaching and I had to be at school at 7 and it was a 30-minute drive. I was like, no, this is important. I'm going to begin my day with prayer. Because at night, I don't know about you, I'm tired. And I'm likely to fall asleep. And that's not really active prayer. I do that too, but I do tend to fall asleep. Spend time with God. Ask Him specifically to use you to bless somebody that day. And then be alert. As the passage says, be alert. Look for that person God is providing, because He will provide. And then if you're in a small group, okay, part of a challenge, join one if you haven't. There's some sign-up forms on the table back there. But if you're in a small group, be willing to share in your small group how God used you, how He answered that prayer. Okay? Begin with prayer so that you can bless others. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we are praying. Lord, remind us each morning. In some cases, be the alarm clock. Wake us up, eager to spend time with You. Lord, we thank You for the privilege we have of being Your tools of blessing. Please help us to know those people that You wish for us to bless this week. Lord, we thank You for prayer. We thank You that it's a conversation we get to have with You, the Almighty God of the universe. We love You, Lord, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.